A yellow 570 just because it looks good on paper, but when you're actually
McDonald's
driving, it's
car.
kind of like you need more meat in the car. Like you need more meat in the
Okay.
burger.
Kind of like a Big Mac.
Yes.
So the best part about it is the cheese paper, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Second time around, the Mac Doctor 1101 joins our podcast this week on Flag Time.
Welcome to this episode of the Flag Time Podcast, the automotive service podcast that we talk a lot about, not that. We got another guest episode for you today.
Water.
No, water's not our guest.
Water is always our guest at some point.
This guest was a previous guest of the podcast. He was on episode 19, so in the first season of this podcast.
Yeah.
The Mac Doctor 1101. Brett Rudin has joined us again tonight. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's totally not because I saw your message in the
yeah, that had nothing
suggestions.
No,
I definitely did not put my name.
Pixie kind of pointed it out. It's like, we should have Brett back on. And I was like, short notice? Can we do that? And I just asked you and you were like, yeah, okay.
I was like, he said it. It was right there.
See, I don't know if he has he's not busy this weekend or the next weekend, but we asked and you're ready and you're here and we're going to do this episode. I need to start the timer.
Full send.
Yay.
Also, make sure your fucking Oculus isn't picking
fuck.
Up.
Yeah, we might have to redo the fucking intro. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, no, we're
microphone.
Good. We got the my audio is recording. Anyway, Brett.
Oh.
So there's
yes,
this
sir.
There's this thing going around on your Instagram profile with a McLaren Senna.
Yes.
So what's up with that?
So that's a project that we're working on, and can't say a whole like in full details on it. But when it's done, which should be pretty soon, it's going to be a record breaker. Like, we're taking this thing to the track. It's going to blow pretty much all the production cars out of the water at the track we're going to.
And
the whole thing apart, built engine, all the upgrades you could think of, and it's going to be an absolute beast.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's sick. Is it a Washington track?
No, so I'm back in AZ now, so it's going to be down
That's right.
Apex, I think is what the track is called. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when we get done with it, cool. We're going to be getting that on the track. So probably in about 3-4 weeks, something like that.
Hell
so
yeah,
that's fucking cool. All the dyno videos and like all the actual like final numbers and everything on it. But yeah, it's going to be big.
Nice. For our listeners who did not listen to Brett's previous episode 19, Brett is a McLaren technician, which is why you were working on a McLaren Senna trying to get it up to an obscene amounts of power.
Yep.
Hypercar territory.
Pretty much, yeah. When it comes to like the actual like hypercars and all that kind of stuff, it's the Senna's probably like right there at like the bottom of the territory on the hypercars.
Yeah, because hypercars now are making 1,800 horsepower. Yeah.
They're all electrified, they got the hybrid batteries.
And then you got the crazy motherfucker from Texas making the Venom F5.
Yeah. Another one?
Yeah.
No, that's the one. That's the 6.6
twin one.
Turbo.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the
one. The one.
1,850 horsepower. Things fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are pretty cool. I've dealt with a couple of them. There's a couple local. But yeah, no, when it comes to like all the hypercars and like hybridization and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of hard to beat all that just because all the battery power helps out with all the horsepower. But this Senna's full, it's all internal combustion. No hybrid, no battery, anything like that. So
damn.
Just pure power.
I wonder. Is it naturally aspirated though?
Twin turbo.
Fuck.
Because like you need like an 800 cubic inch engine to make that fucking power in a.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this one's just a 4-liter twin turbo V8.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Hell yeah. So it's almost all motor.
Pretty much, yeah. And
it's all motor just because it has turbos. I don't think it loses that kind of.
Well, I mean, like, all motor is
all
like.
All motors, no boost, NA. No nitrous.
Ah, okay. So no boost at all.
It's all murder.
Murder.
Yeah,
we've had her on the dyno a couple of times, and the dyno is probably about 50, 75 feet away from my rack and whatnot. This thing like, it is properly loud. Like, it's got an aftermarket exhaust, obviously, on it, but it she screams.
Is it a direct to axle dyno, or is it like a regular tire dyno?
It's a pro hub, so it's the on the driveline.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
you like you take the wheels off and you attach to the hub.
Dyno, let's go.
Yeah,
I'm seeing more places getting hub dynos.
From what I've been told, like, it's just a little bit more accurate of a reading when it's like actually directly on the axle
also,
on the hub.
Also safer.
Yeah.
I feel like that type of dyno is also maybe cheaper.
Probably.
Because you don't have the whole setup.
Then again, you need between 2 and 4 to do it, though.
Yeah, but I mean, with a regular dyno, you need like a rack and like a thing in the ground, and you have to like dig it into the ground and do that sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I wonder what it costs. I mean, I don't even know what a dyno costs.
And then you get the sketchy like trailer ones.
Or something.
You know, this one's cool
because the trailer ones are so fucked up.
Yeah. No, this one's cool because it's rated to like 2,000, 2,500 horsepower, something like that.
Fucking
but hell. Like the dynos on each of the axles, they have these arms that stick out. So that way on like the high horsepower cars, they literally don't spin like the actual dyno, which apparently there's a video out there of a high horsepower car doing a pull on one of them without the legs on. And like it's spinning this giant piece of metal. That is the dyno out
there. That's terrifying.
Like when you spin a drill, you grab the drill bit and let go of the drill, and the fucker just starts fucking spinning.
Just think about that as the dyno just doing that, yeah.
Okay. Yikes. I found a Mustang two-wheel drive dyno for $3,000. That's how much they cost. Just a two-roller.
That's cheaper than I expected, honestly.
That is 10 times cheaper than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just buy one of these.
Is that the hub dyno or the
no? This is
the drive on
here. One. It's just real quick.
Jump it up a shot. And be like, what do you want? Figure out just your horsepower.
Real quick. I mean, it's just ramps horsepower. and that.
Interesting.
You could literally have a dyno day and make all your money back in one day by charging people.
You could. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
$50 to figure out how much horsepower you have.
I think I'm pretty sure most like dyno days at shops and shit are like it's $100 for 3 pulls.
That's not bad. Does that include tuning or is that just a pull?
That should just be the pulls, I think.
No, that's just the pulls. There's I think it's Dark Horse Performance here in Houston. I think every Friday night or something they do a dyno night, and it's like $100 for 3 pulls.
This one's called an Eddie.
But then you also got to get stuff to strap the cars down so they don't fly everywhere. Mm-hmm. You got to get the big giant fans to cool
the car. So there's the dyno, and then there's all the options for it. Okay, you can get a 4-post lift above ground.
All the like the oxygen sensors and shit to tune, I guess.
Yeah, well, I guess just getting
the monitors and shit so you can not blow up. Submit an inquiry.
An inquiry. Oh, here's all-wheel drive hub dynamometer for sale for $45,000 made in 2019. All right. Or you can get one of these for $18 on Amazon. But it doesn't
hand
really
grip
anything.
Strength.
Hand grip strength tester. I doesn't can grip great. My cock harder than anyone else. And I can prove it with science.
That grip strength machine we went to in Texas.
Yeah.
The one where I fucking hurt my hand on.
Yeah.
Because it's a shitty fucking machine.
Well, it's supposed to have some amount of give in it, right? Like not just
it's the fixed thing because not everybody had the same hand because your hands were way bigger than my hands, so you had a way easier time actually gripping it.
So if it was, and if my it was shit, like
if Pixie had I don't to know, I guess, fist it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, sometimes.
This didn't he wasn't even as strong as mine with one hand.
Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor. This episode of Flag Time is brought to you by the Flag Time Patreon.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I subscribe to that to show my friends because I have no way of showing them anything. I forgot to be funny about that.
Well, the Flag Time Patreon is where you can see the video versions of these episodes.
And you can see this.
Yeah, that
and
too.
And you can, yeah, like what else is on the Patreon? I need to look.
There's a lot of things. There's a lot of extra stuff, including what Sterling's talking about. There's
more stuff.
More clips. You know, starting at $3 a month, you could just see the video versions of the episode. $6 a month gets you all the bonus content, which is probably what Sterling's talking about. And $15 a month here.
You won't. No balls.
Yeah, that one. Gets you access to us saying your name on fucking the end of the episodes.
Don't you want your fucking name said on a podcast? Like, come on. Like, that's the meaning of life, honestly.
You won't, though, because you got no balls. All shaft.
Well, but everybody that subscribed does. Somehow. I don't really know.
The Flag Time Patreon. Subscribe today to see. Have you ever wanted to know what a Hot Wheels car looks like in a mini wind tunnel? What? No. Well, guess what? You're in luck, because this thing called a Winzable Desktop Wind Tunnel is a real thing, and I'm not shitting you. It's a 13-inch long, actual, for-real wind tunnel with a fan and a smoke generator that makes a surprisingly smooth laminar flow of air in the test area. You can test Hot Wheels cars, matchboxes, your if it's less than 3 inches long. If you want to check it out, go to my Instagram profile at SerratedMobius and click the link in my bio. My discount code Serrated10, that's SERRATED10, will take $10 off of your order of the Winzable Desktop Wind Tunnel. We're back to this episode of Flag Time.
Meanwhile, so Brett, my forearms are almost as big as my biceps.
Yeah, my the dealership that I currently...
control arm on a Honda Civic.
Oh, sick. The dealership that I currently work at just got its Cornwell guy. We just got a Cornwell guy.
Cornhole!
Yeah, so they didn't have
he
one
got
before.
The Cornwell guy.
That Let's reminded go. Me of the last episode that you were on. We were talking about Cornwell weapons.
Yes.
Have you gotten any new ones since then?
I have not. However, I have a story about my spear. Okay. So I haven't got any more Cornwell weapons. Boy, unfortunately, the guys that. So
for the audio listeners, the
join or die.
The join or die machete has appeared.
So we don't have any tool guys, unfortunately, at my new place just because of our smaller shop.
Okay,
but I'm sure we'll get them eventually. That being said, ever since I got that spear, I've had it basically in my car. So I just got a new car recently, and then, you know, like the entire time, like where you have to, they give you, when they go do the paperwork and they're like, go transfer all your stuff to your car or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I had to take a fucking boar spear out and put it in the new car.
So yeah, like, let me just get all my stuff out. Hang on.
In front of the entire dealership, and it was a busy day. It was on a Saturday, so everybody's out there looking at cars, and I'm just there, like, trying not to look all suspicious or whatnot. So I just called it
like, y'all buying a car?
So I told the sales guy to pull the new car up right next to my car so it'd make things easier. They didn't do that, whatever. So I'm busy walking like 10 spaces down just with my spear while like everybody's looking at me, and I'm just like, out of all the stuff I need to get my new car, I remembered my spear, but I forgot my garage door opener, so I had to go back.
Well, I mean, priorities, right?
Yeah.
The novelty thing is more important than the actual important thing. Always.
Yeah, of course.
I have a fucking did I have my knight's helmet when we had this conversation?
I think that no, the knight's helmet came out shortly before we started the Patreon.
I'm pretty sure he showed it before though. I remember seeing it though.
I don't.
Oh, my leg hurts. Oh Lord.
Sterling with his early onset knee problems.
Yep, we all have it.
Mm-hmm. Not me.
Well, you were born in 96, so whatever.
Yeah, but I also regularly exercise and lift weights and do specific weightlifting stuff so that I don't have knee pain.
There you go. You're young. It doesn't matter.
My cardio is getting up in the morning.
I'm a year younger than Sterling.
I fucked my knee up earlier.
Did we know?
I hit it extremely hard against a corner of a door.
Ow.
He put the hat on it.
Automobile.
I love this hat. It just says automobile. I don't know. I found it at work one day, and I was like, does this hat belong to anyone? And I was like, they were like, no.
Like, well, it does now.
Like, well, it's mine now. That fucking head's mine. Also, yeah, this was the topic. Also, I don't want to put it on because there's probably spiders in it.
It's the thumbnail of like the majority of the first podcast Patreon episodes that we've done.
Nice.
Before I made a whole bunch of other ones.
You gotta like put my headphones on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I got that with a pry bar or something. I don't remember. But yeah. Sometimes they get me on the novelty stuff. I don't really have any tool bills anymore. Like I have like a little bit of
it's just debt bills left for on my... dumb shit instead of tools.
Man, I have a coworker that has a he's a big Cornwell guy, but he hasn't been a tech for more than like 3 years. And he's got like a big, huge, like 72-inch wide toolbox with a hutch that he just got. And so he's got like
grand.
Half the fucking drawers in it are empty. And he like just ordered a side locker for it. And I'm like, dude, you're a C tech. Like, and you're buying like you're buying like a $30,000 toolbox. He's not a C tech. He it takes some like 2 days to do an oil pan gasket on a CRV, but that's
yeah.
But I mean, we all love him. He's a cool dude. He's really nice. I just think he's crazy on his little spending habits. Yeah, I like Cornwell though.
Yeah, but that's awesome. Brett, you did go to Washington for a little bit.
Yeah, so I was in Washington for about 9-10 months. I remember that was the first weekend I was up there too. We went to the Lamborghini one and shook around back or whatnot, but that was a cool night.
What happened?
It was
it was a car meet. It was an Avance show. It was like a show. It was kind of like a mini Radwood. I think I brought my Saab to it. No, I brought my Explorer to it. Yep. And it actually like kind of got a couple people around it for a little bit. They were like, what the fuck? Why is this here? It's so nice. What the fuck? Why is this even still around?
Because you were the only person there with a 98 Explorer.
95. First year of the second gen.
Man, no, that was a fun show. We walked around. They had the entire like inside, because how it is, it's like a giant square, the dealership, and just each quarter of it is a different brand. So you got Rolls, you got Bentley, Lamborghini, then you got McLaren, and they kind of like in the staging areas, they took out all the cars and they put some of the show cars in. I think they had like a Miami Vice Ferrari, something like that, but they had like all the lights dimmed down. They had cool projectors. They had I remember they had that wall where they had all the, it was like a wall canvas, but it was all white and black and you can color on it.
Yeah.
And Sterling, I think you found your
somebody drew my car on there.
That's cool.
And me. And then I took a picture of it. Yeah, it was fun though. I liked that show.
That's when they had the GTX one in the back too.
Yeah,
geeking over about.
There was a Ford GTX, which is I forget what exactly makes it different.
It's a convertible.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Or the hard top, like removable top target, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so show them in back, let them go see all the bays and everything back there. I think there was a Senna there too. The Senna GTR, the Elva, a bunch of high dollar stuff back there. But there's pretty sure there's a Ford GTX one, and then there's a Tesla right in front of it.
Yeah, there was this.
Ooh,
this is the Ford GTX, and then that was the Tesla right behind it. And then, there was this fucking. This thing, which was like
the Elva.
Yeah, it was a, what is it?
It's called an Elva.
Elva.
Yeah.
Elva.
So it's cool because the dealership, about 4 or 5 months after that, they in Seattle, they were unveiling a new condo building. And so it was like a luxury high rise kind of thing.
Oh my God, it's too blue.
What the fuck?
It was blue inside of this room.
Yeah, that was all the lights and stuff. But so it was like they were showing the new build of a luxury condo in downtown Seattle. And of course, somebody wanted to do something crazy, and they took that Elva. I think it's on consignment or something, or whoever owns it kind of just keeps it there. And they craned the Elva up to the top floor on the high rise.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, so that was in downtown Seattle, and they're kind of like helping to put that up there or whatnot. But yeah, they literally like craned it on top of the building next to the pool or whatnot. So it's like 300-400 feet up, however high the
sky. It's only doing it on half the screen.
Buick.
That's fucking crazy. Like, yeah.
This is an ADHD podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Why would you buy a car just to like? You paid so much money to put it in a high, like, I understand, like, the person that did that has like fuck you money, but like, why would you crane a car into a high-rise building just to like put it in the building and then never ever drive it or start it?
No idea. That's kind of, yeah, like you're saying, fuck you money, but it's, I know a guy in Australia, I think, did the same thing, but like he kept the car up there. Mm-hmm. He'll start like once in a while. I think it's a Senna GTR, but the same kind of thing, crane it up there, never going to drive it on the streets, and it's another $1.5 million car. Like that Elva, I think, is $2.1 million, something like that. So it's not like a cheap car for literally just sitting up there.
That's so funny. That's wild. Like, why not make one out of Legos and then put it on the wall?
Or just have a roller chassis and don't even have the fucking drivetrain in it.
Yeah, yeah, that would make a lot of sense. He's like, yeah, they're, you know, I took the motor out.
Yeah, no, that could, the car was up there. It wasn't up there for very long. It was more of like a publicity stunt, but it was up there for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like stay.
Oh, they
up there.
Took it down?
Yeah, it was only up there for a couple hours.
There goes that whole. Cool. There goes that whole.
Never
bit.
Mind. The rest of the whole thing that I just said. Never mind. Just disregard that.
But yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
I just finished editing the backlots video where you did that. Did you see the clip?
I put the whole microphone in my mouth.
Yeah, did you see the clip that I uploaded?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that was great. Anyway,
what's going on?
Yeah, so like after the whole we'll get to the story real quick, Pixie, but after you went to Washington for a bit.
Oh, excited.
It was about a year ago next month, actually, I think. We ended up linking up in Phoenix.
Really? That was almost a year ago?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Was it?
It was like April last year, I think.
Okay, I've got very bad.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was like August.
No, that was April last year.
I don't remember.
I thought it was in the summertime.
No.
Because that was when you're doing like your road trip kind of thing.
Yeah, that was when I was doing my big like state of Arizona vacation with my girlfriend. And yeah. One of the days that we were in Phoenix was the same exact day that you were there, and there happened to be a car meet there, and we ended up linking up, which I thought was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't even know, like, was that car meet something that just happens there all the time, or?
So I think that one is, it's called the McDonald's Rock and Roll Car Show.
Yeah.
And if you Google it, I believe it is the longest weekly car show in the country.
Yeah.
Rock and roll McDonald's.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
Rock and roll McDonald's.
McDonald's hamburgers are the worst.
They're not bad. I like the small ones, not like the big ones.
They're worse than Burger King. Burger King Whopper has 26 grams of fat. a Whopper. I don't even remember the words.
I do miss Dick's Burgers, though.
Yeah, Dick's is the best. Dick's burgers are the best dicks I want in my mouth.
I can't wait to eat them when we go up.
They're
here.
So good. You're probably going to be like, yeah, it's all right. But like for Seattle, I mean, like you can either go to like Wendy's, which is fine, but Dick's is cheaper and way better.
Yeah.
And also, burgers like, are better than Wendy's, and that's pretty good, but a damn burger.
That's you also got to realize you can get a pound of ground beef for like half the price of a fucking fast food burger.
Yeah, but then you have to cook it.
Yeah, but then you got to make it. Then you got to make food. Well, who wants to do that?
It's burger. It takes like 10
minutes.
It's
burger.
And even Dick's open 24/7.
Hamburger.
Or is that only till like 3 a.m.?
Dick's, the one in Capitol Hill is open really late, and the one in, what is it?
The one in the other area.
That one.
Well, there's one in Capitol Hill that I know is open late.
Because I know the one in Bellevue was open either till like 2 or 3.
They're usually all open pretty late. It's like one of the only restaurants that said fuck you to COVID hours.
Yeah, I miss that. I remember going out like 11, 12 o'clock at night sometimes when I was up there and just grabbing a burger or two because they were pretty decent.
Yeah, and they're small, and they're like they're almost like in between the size of a White Castle burger and a Big Mac. They're like kind of in between because a Big Mac is pretty small. Honestly, we can all agree.
Yeah,
you need like 10 Big Mac patties to make like, a pound of meat.
There was a period of time where I just didn't go to Burger King. It was I got so used to how the size of McDonald's burgers are. So I go
to and
Burger
you get a Whopper.
King, I go to like, Burger King and get a Whopper. And I'm like, God damn.
It's like the size of a regular burger. Like it's the way I always describe Burger King is Burger King burgers taste like a burger you had when you were 9 years old at your uncle's cookout. Like that's what that shit tastes like. It's good. It tastes like a backyard grilled burger.
It's cooked on a flame grill.
The Burger King in my town is actually like decent. Like it's I don't know, I've been there a handful of times and I've never had a wrong order. I've never had a burger that was like especially bad.
The one by my work is like super hit or miss. It's either really good or really bad.
So the one next to my dealership is fantastic all the time, but they get really stingy when you use coupons. Like really stingy.
They're just like, oh, this guy's got a coupon.
Yeah,
and don't give them out.
Freddy, like, spit in the lettuce.
Like no, I gave them a coupon for like the two chicken sandwich thing, and then I ordered a drink on top of that. The chicken sandwiches that they gave me, one of them was like full on how it's supposed to be, and the other one was a chicken patty and bread. Like.
Okay, I found when we went to Austin. We went to Austin in September.
September of 22, Or was that 23? That was 23, yeah.
So that wasn't what you were referring to.
No, I was talking about April of 24.
When you
went to Arizona.
Oh, word, I'm completely lost. But okay.
But yeah, going back to that.
I do this thing where I don't listen.
But yeah, Brett.
It's kind of a burden for everyone, honestly.
But it's a weekly car show that happens every Saturday. And the original origin to that was the owners of the McDonald's there were like, they were car people, car enthusiasts. So they'd have, and this was back in like the 70s or 80s.
Right.
They started to do the show once a week, and they'd have a couple buddies come on and just like show their cars or whatnot. And just throughout the years, it's caught on. Mm-hmm. And ever since 80s or 70s, whenever it started, it's been a weekly thing that every Saturday we call it the Pavilion Car Show or PAVS because that's like
a shopping center. Yeah.
And so you have the sections of you got bikes, you got imports, you got Euro, exotic, and then a lot of the show is classic muscle cars.
Yep.
Honestly, like on average, like 300-400 people every Saturday go out or whatnot and just kind of hang out and chill. It's gotten a little bit iffy over the last couple of years because a lot of people have like taken advantage of it and trying to do like burnouts and stuff. Yeah. So, like,
you mean the Hellcat the walls, people,
the Mustang people, and
I get it. I mean, it's kind of like everyone is like, yeah, fucking everyone revving their goddamn V8 motor. I'm like, as soon as you have one, you know, You have to. You're obligated. Dude,
I do it at almost every red light.
I thought people revving their motorcycles was the most obnoxious thing, and still, until I started riding an S1000.
You're like,
and then you're just like, oh, I understand.
Cool. Yeah. Like, immediately fuck what everyone else says. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. Actually, fuck all of you.
And then even now when you hear like a really bad exhaust, and you're just like, that sounds like shit, but like, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you've met two out of the three of us in person.
Yes, sir. Pixie, you're next.
Gotta go find him. You guys are fairly close now. If you're both in, if you're in Arizona and you're in Texas, I mean, you're just
That's not close, but okay.
Yeah, because Texas is the
being
size
in
of
Texas and God's then also asshole. Being in Texas isn't close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're in the like, Houston area, right?
Yeah. I'm extra farther away in Texas.
I was in Houston for a couple months. I went to the Hennessy school there. So I was in like the Katy area. So on the west side of Houston.
Hennessy's more so out
or Sealy
is in Sealy, which is like an hour ish away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hour and a half, depending on traffic. If
it always reminds me of the stories of people overseas coming to like vacation in the US and they're like, we just landed in Orlando.
Why do you want to come here?
We just landed in Orlando. We want to go see New York. How far away is it? I'm like, dude.
Depends. Do you want to take like, a plane or a car?
It's like
you want to take a bus.
It's like a 2.5 hour plane ride.
Yeah, 3 days or 3 hours. Pick one.
Yeah, it's just like because like the drive that I make from the eastern panhandle of West Virginia to North Carolina once a month, that's 6 hours. So
yeah,
they wonder
why we drive everywhere. It's like Texas is the size of like 70% of Europe as a whole.
Isn't France smaller than Texas?
By a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up now.
Yeah, you should look up like picture of Texas next to Europe. Not exaggerated. Because a lot of people like to, a lot of people say like they'll put like Africa inside of Texas. And they're like, that's no.
They put another Texas inside of Texas. Like,
yeah. Let's see. France is 200,000 square miles.
Square kilometer.
Texas. Oh, it's not that much smaller. Texas is 270,000 square miles.
Not that about much smaller. A whole 70,000 miles squared. Bigger.
Well, then it's not the size of 70% of Europe, then. If it's barely smaller than France, then it's not the size of 70% of Europe. That's not true. don't trick our listeners. Size of Texas compared to Europe.
Still a decent, yeah.
It's three times the size of the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that's like fucking...
You can see
it's the size of the 15th of the size of Europe's land area.
You can go from France to the Czech Republic and still be inside of Texas.
It's like, yeah, try to drive from fucking Rome all the way to Copenhagen.
There's your picture. Yeah, so that's that, like, Spain is down here. Oh, down here, I guess. It's reversed for me. And then there's that one over there. And then there's those over there that are still smaller.
Paris and Munich is in the same area.
You could drive from Paris to Florence to Munich to Milan on almost to Barcelona.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and go to the premium listener interaction segment on
what about Patreon. Story?
Oh yeah, that's right. You need to tell your story.
Oh yeah,
do that.
Quite similar to when Sterling got his coworker fired. I got to witness the coworker I don't like get fired. I didn't cause it, but I got to see it. So I gotta remember not to say what I work for and people's names.
Hi, post-production Serrated Bobby's here. Sterling's about to say something out of fucking left field. He's talking about his microphone. Just letting you know.
Should just make this a penis.
Just get like a really, just like draw one with crayon on a piece of lined paper, cut it out poorly, and then just tape it to the fucking microphone.
And be like, this podcast is too gay. And I'm like, I'm not even gay. I just think it's funny.
Okay, so.
I love my gay homies.
This guy fucks up all the time and doesn't take accountability for it. Always blames it on somebody else. Mm-hmm. He finally got
sounds like someone I know.
Ayo.
Right. So where I work has a national account for a fleet company. And
that's bleeped.
In Houston, Texas.
No.
Wait. No?
No.
You're going to correct me?
It is not that.
It's all going to get bleeped out anyway.
Anyway, continue.
So anyway, he tried to sell sell a tire on this rental car, and he tried to the tire was like 4 months old and still had like 830 seconds on it.
Interesting.
And the guy that works for one of the guys at that rental car location is like super fucking high up. And he, because he can see when they bought tires for that car.
Yeah.
He saw that it was 4 months ago and he came to the shop, looked at the tire.
And he's like, you guys are trying to fuck me in the ass or what? At least buy me dinner.
It's like most of the techs are because most techs know the guy because, you know, he goes with the fucking fleet company. So the techs are all chill.
Eloquently worded.
I am full of chicken. I was trying not to stutter, and that was probably worse, honestly. So he comes in. He's like, why the fuck does this thing need tires? He was trying to sell tires just to make a fucking sale. Because it's the fleet company. They don't fucking they'll buy it. And that guy didn't send an email to the manager, not the area manager. He sent an email to the vice president of the fucking company that I work at, saying that I will pull this entire nationwide fleet account out if you don't.
Jesus
fire
Christ!
Guy. Yeah, oh
my God,
that dude fucked up.
So damn. Needless to say, that guy's been fired.
The very next fucking day. Area manager comes to the shop. He has one of my coworkers has a brand new big Snap-on box that he just bought. And he's got a fucking $300 coffee machine that he put in the clamshell. And he comes up to him, he's like,
"You're fine.
I need a coffee." He comes up to him, he's like, "I need you to make me a coffee. I need some caffeine in my system before I fire somebody." So my coworker makes him a fucking coffee and everything.
And then he fires him.
No, he didn't fire him. He takes the guy out to the parking lot, and the whole shop's just sitting there watching.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
We can't hear what's going on, but we're watching. And then immediately, the guy tries to put the blame on somebody else, and that it wasn't his fault.
Oh, whoever did the last inspection of blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's the last guy now.
It was amazing. And then he got sent home.
I love watching people get fired. I also love arranging for people to get fired. That's awesome. Yeah. I love doing that. That's really fun.
Do you have any stories like that?
That's so much fun. So good.
No, I mean, I've definitely witnessed a few times when somebody I worked with should have gone fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when they put a screwdriver through a carbon fiber quarter panel.
Oh.
Ooh, I haven't done that.
After they crashed a McLaren.
Oh,
Jesus.
He's got a track record, but he only got a slap on the wrist. So, unfortunately.
Why does that happen? Like, you feel like, I don't know, like being in this industry, you kind of feel like, I better not fuck anything up or I'm going to get fired. And then you like watch somebody like put, like you said, a screwdriver through a panel And yeah, you're just like,
yeah, he came over to ask to borrow mine. I'm like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, and you put this one through there.
Hey, can I borrow you, screwdriver?
And so, yeah, he comes over because on McLaren's, you don't really need screwdrivers. So I'm like, he's trying to pry something, which didn't
yeah.
go well.
Yeah.
So he's trying to do something, and all of a sudden I hear, oh, this is like 5 seconds later, and I walk over and just
hey,
like, long ass screwdriver going through the carbon fiber quarter panel of a McLaren.
Ow.
And
I got yeah, nothing some happened tape over that.
Nothing happened to him, but
that's
why? In my opinion, something should have, but yeah, I don't know.
See, that just sets a horrible example for the whole shop. You're like, well, if he can do that, then that means all of us can do that and get away with it. That's what that yeah. tells you.
Like, right. I mean, I get it if it's like the first time you've ever fucked something up and it was yeah. like an accident, but like,
man, this guy, this was not the first time. And me and this guy just did not, we did not get along very well, just simply because he was kind of with like goody goody with the manager. So like anytime something would happen, he always had his back.
That's what he's doing.
Pretty much. And
figuratively yeah, and literally.
That was one of the reasons why I left Scottsdale McLaren, because all that stuff, like it got to the point where he went over to a car that I was working on and I had the whole transmission out. Car wasn't going anywhere, but he goes over, he starts to take a sensor or something off of that car on my rack without asking me. I was busy helping my buddy take an engine out of another car because he's never done an engine, so I was helping him out.
Yeah.
So I see him go over to my bay, mess with this car. Then he walks over to his bay and I'm like, hey, what do you got going on? Just like trying to figure out what's happening. He's like, oh, yeah. I went to the manager to see if I could borrow a part to like test on this car or whatnot. I'm like, okay, if you could like just maybe tell me next time. So
yeah, cause give me a hey,
with my
this
car.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh yeah, no worries. 30 minutes later, I get called into the manager's office and he's like, why were you yelling at him to after something I told him? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I told him to go do this and for him to tell you that he's got my permission to take something off your car. I'm like, okay, that's fine. He never asked me. And whenever a car's in my bay, that's my responsibility that car goes back together how it should.
Exactly.
So I wasn't asking or yelling at him. I was literally smooth tone voice. Hey, what do you got going on? Just to get information. And so I got yelled at and almost written up because of that. So
oh my God.
Like 10 other stories that go around that whole thing with
yeah, that shit would make me quit too. I'd be like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. Literally, like, that's in my bay. That's my responsibility. And if I fuck something up, it's my responsibility. Like, I know a lot of people in the auto industry don't know how to take accountability, but the people that do, really, you don't want to fuck with them.
Yeah, so kind of one of the,
yeah.
Do you want me to bleep out Scottsdale McLaren? Do you want me to bleep that out?
Not necessarily. I don't think that.
Fuck them. Okay.
Sterling said.
Shout out to fucking McLaren of Scottsdale. You suck.
But yeah, no, that's the closest I've seen to be like what Sterling and Pixie were saying about seeing someone get fired. But instead I just decided to walk away from that situation myself because, like everybody says, you don't quit a job, you quit management.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's like, okay. And plus being the guy, I was there 7 days a week most weeks. And because I live so close to the dealership, I was like 5 minutes away. If we got a delivery on a Saturday or Sunday because of cars, I'd come on in at like 6-7 o'clock on a Sunday night to make sure the cars get inside. I was a guy that put in extra hours to make sure cars get delivered and for them to kind of like, okay, well, we're attacking you because this one guy is friends with the manager. It's now all your fault. I'm like, okay, I don't really want to be here.
Yeah.
The buddies with manager guys need to fuck the hell right off. Like my dealership, we have one guy that's like buddy buddy with the manager that everyone fucking hates. And the manager kind of just is like, yeah, he's just, if he gives you shit, just give it right back. Like literally fight him. I don't care.
Literally fist fight him.
Yeah. I did that with a supercharged Range Rover. Yeah. Like you'd think
of all brands that you could do that to.
The 5 liter in the Range Rover is actually pretty close to a Ford 5 liter. I mean, they were together at the time, so I think they might have had some like engineering similarities between the Ford 5 liter and the Range Rover one. But I mean, they're not super hard to work on. The only kind of shitty thing is
there's no goddamn fucking room, and everything's made of plastic.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest problem with the Range Rover 5 liters is when you got to do valve covers, you have to slide hammer the fucking injectors out.
I've heard about that. Yeah,
they're dumb. I mean, they're not that hard. If you've done them more than once, then you know you can pretty much get a set done.
You gotta slide hammer the injectors out like it's a fucking diesel.
Yeah. Welcome back to this episode of the Flag Time Podcast. Anyway, we'll go ahead and...
Shout out to water.
Yes. We'll go ahead and go to the premium member interaction segment over here on the Flag Time Podcast Patreon. Where the premium members get to ask our guests any question they want, as long as it's not something that we're just going to ignore.
As long as it's not, like, racist or like... We're transphobic.
Unless it's really funny.
I don't know about that, buddy.
I farted.
Anyway, premium member the Forklift Man says, what do you think of McLaren's F1 season so far? Are you paying attention to F1 this year?
That's a good point. I'm probably gonna get canned by McLaren for this. I do not watch F1.
You don't watch F1.
My work does like F1 watch parties, and all like my clients, they like to watch F1. Mm-hmm. I just don't seem to have the time to like sit down and like watch a race. Like I'm always kind of like either doing something at work or at the family or whatnot, and I've just never really gotten into like motorsports on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So unfortunately, I don't really have a opinion on how they're doing. I know they're racing, I know that much, but
the cargo room in a place designed to do that.
I will do this as a shameless plug for the middle and premium tier tiers of the Patreon. Can't think right now for some reason, but if you are part of that,
brainless,
you get to those two tiers get access to our Discord, where we record the podcast right here, and this Discord hosts Formula One watch parties sometimes. The last Grand Prix the last Grand Prix was the first one, the Australian Grand Prix, first one of 2025. A bunch of us were in here. We watched it together on stream, and we watched Lando Norris win the Grand Prix. It was.
Oh man, you spoiled it.
Yeah. Right.
If you haven't seen it yet. Well, the thing that's been out for months.
Yeah. But yeah, McLaren is currently leading the championship right now with Lando Norris. And the next race, which as of this recording is going live in about 6 hours' time, just about 5.5 hours, they are. I know Piastri is on pole. It's like a McLaren, and I think a Mercedes got second. And I don't know who's third. Let me see who's the starting.
Those are cars.
Yes.
Car. I like cars.
Because Hamilton's with Ferrari now, isn't he?
Sometimes.
Yes, he is.
Car got four wheels on it.
Sometimes.
Yeah, qualifying results.
Sometimes I have three.
So it's Oscar Piastri for McLaren. They have
five.
Oscar Piastri, McLaren in first. George Russell for Mercedes in second. Lando Norris for McLaren in third. And Max Verstappen in fourth with Lewis Hamilton behind him. So that's the qualifying results for the Grand Prix starting here in a few hours. Oh my God. And if I'm up and if. I figure out how to fucking stream it, I'm going to be hosting another watch party here on the Flag Time Discord for that kind of thing. So it's all up to if you want to stay up and watch it with us. So
so that you don't get fired.
Right. But yeah, McLaren's doing pretty fucking good right now.
Right. I might have to take a look at like a race or two, but I don't know. It's just because those races go for like what, an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that.
The limit is 2 hours, I think.
Okay.
So it's either however many laps it is or 2 hours, whichever comes first. I don't know if that rule is still in effect. I know that was that way in the early 2010s. But I don't know.
One day I'll have to watch race again.
Yes. We'll go to the next premium member here. Forced User says, if there is one thing you would change on the Senna, what would it be?
That's kind of tough because out of all the McLarens that like they make, the Senna is probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. To me, it's kind of perfect. Power. Okay, the only thing I would change is the exhaust note factory.
Okay.
Unfortunately, no McLarens really sound all that good, like from the factory.
They except for the F1.
Except for the F1, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
F1 sounds great.
Which was a V6.
No, it wasn't.
Was it a V6?
No, it was a V12.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Jaguar, never mind.
Incorrect. I was immediately wrong.
I was thinking of the XJ220.
That thing's clean.
That did have a V6.
Wasn't that one supposed to have a V12 in it?
It was. So. I think it was supposed to get the same V12 that was in the McLaren F1.
Oh, that thing would have been fucking insane if it did.
Because it was a... No. Because it was... they were both British, and BMW isn't British, but BMW makes cars for British people. Mini.
The shittiest one.
I mean, my wife talked about this yesterday. I want a fucking original Mini, not an original Mini, but an original new Mini Cooper, like an R56, and I want to put a fucking Honda motor in it. I want to do that so bad.
You would make it like infinitely better.
It would be perfect after that. It'd be like, okay, literally, you take a perfect little tiny, super good handling, cool looking, cool interior little car with a shit drivetrain, and you take that out, throw it in the garbage, and you put a good drivetrain in it. You can put a D-series engine in it, and it would be fine.
Put the fucking 2ZZ from the last-gen Celica in it.
That would be crazy.
Put an M177 in it.
Yes.
What about an M170? Do you know what that is?
No.
That's the engine. I learned this because I watched a Doug DeMiro video the other day. That's the engine that's in the CLK GTR.
Oh, okay.
And the same engine that they put in some of the Zondas, I think, too.
It's like the base of the Zonda, yeah. The CLK GTR is one of my all-time favorite cars. Like, it takes a lot for me to get hyped about a car nowadays just because I've been around
a car that took off the
ground. I got one right here.
Yeah. If I was ever to have one of those, like, in my bay, that would be, like, that'd be peak. The CLK GTR is insane.
Just don't go really fast over hills on it.
Do what?
Yeah.
Don't go really fast over hills on it.
That's true.
Don't go 200 miles an hour on a back road in that car.
Whee!
I wonder if having, like, two canards on the fucking front end with a crazy angle would have stopped it from getting airborne.
It needs a longer wheelbase, is what it
like
needs.
A remote mounted, like a, if you put, like, a piece of plywood on the hood and, like, angled it like that.
Like a fucking sprint car wing on the top of it.
It's got so much downforce, it can't possibly get up off the ground.
Like, this front spoiler is dangerous and inconvenient, but I do not want to fly off the road.
It's like, the fucking, have y'all seen some of the hill climb cars that just have the most ridiculous fucking aero I've ever seen?
Mm-hmm. There's a guy that goes to a lot of local Washington car shows that has an NSX that is just tube chassis, full carbon fiber tub, and it's just got like, it's got like fucking 50 canards on it. It's crazy looking. I don't know if you've ever seen, Brett, if you've ever seen, it's like a matte black NSX, and the dude always has his clamshell
shit open. I just spilled water.
I think I might have seen a picture or two from a friend when I was up there, but I've never actually seen it personally.
It's always so fucking dirty. 'Cause the dude actually tracks it.
Okay, I'm just going to wipe this water up with my sleeve.
Okay, we'll go to the next question napkins. Here. Kyle Olson 25 asks, top five favorite bands. Love your song picks for your Instagram stories.
The Beatles.
Ooh, okay.
Demodome.
Motionless in White. Ooh. Falling in Reverse. Mm. Sum 41.
Hell yeah.
Hinder, I like a lot. And what was that one? Escape.
Hinder. Hinder. Okay, yeah.
Butt rock. Divorced dad. Where's Five Finger Death Punch?
Five Finger Death Punch.
One finger. One toe.
Man. Yeah.
Alive.
I can smell the clutch burning right now.
The lip bite emoji.
Yeah, I went to see a concert just after I graduated from the Mercedes-Benz Drive program. So this was like 2019, 2020 time frame. It was pre-pandemic, and we went
the better time.
Yes, the good we went times. To the Crown Coliseum in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the concert that was there. I went to go see In Flames. They were playing there, but they were also on fire? Playing the band In Flames.
The band was on fire?
That's the name of the band.
But are they on fire?
The band's name is on fire.
Yes. Okay.
And they have a now song I got it. Called In Flames.
The song is called... this is a song called A World on Fire.
Seeing them live was fantastic. But they were also touring with Breaking Benjamin and Five Finger Death Punch.
Hell yeah.
So that was a pretty wicked show. I went to go see In Flames because that was... In Flames is the band that got me out of my fucking Avenged Sevenfold phase in middle school.
Oh, there you go.
You can get out of that?
Yes.
No. Why the hell would you want to do that?
Why would you want to do that?
Why would you want to do that? Piece of shit. Fucking liberal.
It's the best band in the world.
Oh, we'll go to the next one. Police 428 asks, the Bible. For way too early F1 championship prediction, which of the McLaren drivers will be the closest winner of the world driver's title? You just said you don't watch
F1. We already talked about this.
Yes.
Bad question.
Yes. There's your question. There's your answer.
Let's do this though.
Spin a wheel.
Basically, I'm gonna ask Brett who's gonna win, Lando or Piastri.
Brand papers.
Just pick one.
Rock paper scissors. Go with Lando because I know that name more.
Lando because you know the name more. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I Lando know that Norris name.
Is oh, the Mac guy. Doctor's prediction for 2025. Let's go.
Lando from Star Wars. First.
What?
I said Lando from Star Wars.
No.
Isn't it not Lando Calrissian?
Dang it.
All right, we'll go to this is the last premium member question here. Nick Toomey asks, every time I hear his name / handle, I think of McDonald's. So what McLaren would be most like a Big Mac? He put in parentheses, I'm sorry, serrated, this is stupid, lol.
Big Mac.
A yellow 570, just because it looks good on paper, but when you're actually driving, it's kind of like, eh. Like, you need more meat in the car. Like, you need more meat in the bird.
Kind of like a Big Mac.
Yes.
So like, why is this third bun in here? What the fuck?
So the best part about it is the cheese paper, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Do your guys' cities ever, like...
You mean the edible shell?
There's a...
The cheese that's stuck on the paper after you're done with the sandwich.
I'm talking about the peel that you can eat around the hamburger.
No. What were you saying?
What the fuck? Oh, I don't remember. my thoughts are just like
me saying the Big Mac has a peel was such an offensive statement. It fucking just killed his whole fucking train of thought.
My thoughts exist on like a credits rolling screen.
Yeah.
And if I don't say all of them, I will forget it.
Same.
I think. Do your guys' towns? Do your McDonald's Every once in a while, like Washington McDonald's will come out with a smaller Big Mac and a bigger Big Mac. Do your McDonald's do that?
I don't eat at McDonald's enough to notice that. I don't even get.
Well, I guess I'm just a fat ass, but every once in a while,
for all of you, so it's fine.
Every once in a while, like Washington McDonald's will come out with a Grand Mac and a Mini Mac.
Interesting.
And the Grand Mac is just a normal-sized
hamburger and a tiny hamburger.
It's yeah, which is like a normal size burger and a slider, basically. Well, a big mini. It's the sauce. It's the only thing you're really getting on a Big Mac is the sauce. I mean, and the shredded lettuce.
Did you guys know that the 20 piece McNugget is supposed to be sharing size?
Fuck and not that, for one bitch. Person? That is
you
all
mean my size? Yeah, no, 40 nuggets are for sharing.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Like my wife and I always talk about like how. We're like, we need to eat healthy, everything, we need to do stuff, and then she'll be like, can we go to Taco Bell?
Dude, for my 21st birthday, I had by myself a $100 sushi boat, and I ate the entire thing.
Did you eat the plate?
No, it's not edible. But oh, I
that's
had...
Dumb. That's quitter talk.
I had over, like... I counted there was over 50 pieces of sushi and 20 pieces of sashimi. I ate all of it. It was
how big were they? Were they like
it's pretty good size. Like
California gas station roll?
No, bigger than that.
That's great. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Sushi fills me up so fucking like I'll eat like a rainbow roll and a yummy roll at a like my local place, and I'm like I'm done.
Well, when I was 21, it was also 2013, and like that long ago, I was able to eat a lot of fucking food.
I can't eat that much anymore.
Yeah,
I used to be able to go to like.
I also didn't eat that entire day. To prepare for it, so
I can't eat that much after like a week or two of starting a bulk diet, and my stomach gets big enough to be like, oh, I can eat that,
dude. I remember when I was working out really, really hard, I ate two full fucking entrees from Denny's one night.
Oh my god, I can't even eat a whole Grand Slam.
That's so many fucking carbs, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah.
What were they? What entrees were they?
Oh, I don't even remember. One of them was one of the omelets, and I used shelled eggs instead of the fucking like powder shit that they use. And I think the other one was like a pancake combo.
My wife and I went down to we were driving the Insight back up from LA. We stopped at a Denny's in like Irving or something, Irvine. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called. And we got two Grand Slamwiches, which is incredible if you've ever not had that. It's just a breakfast sandwich, but it's on two pieces of sourdough bread. Mm-hmm. And
sourdough Texas toast.
It's almost. Like the bread is like this big. And I was like, half of the sandwich is bigger than a Whopper at
bread
Burger
bigger
King.
Than your sister's ass.
Okay, I fucking love that, dude. Bread's the size of your sister's ass.
We both ate half of our sandwich, and then we just took the other half and left. And that like there was a side and stuff. And, like it was like god damn, it was like 3,000 calories in this thing.
Yeah. Denny's is pretty decent as it is, but if you go to Denny's at 3 a.m., that shit's different restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's so good at 3 a.m. for like fucking reason.
When I was working at Target,
usually
doing,
drunk.
When I was working at Target doing closing shifts, I would link up with a whole bunch of friends at fucking midnight, and we would go to Denny's, and that was the best.
I did that.
Yeah.
When I worked at the movie theater, the manager that closed, because I used to work concession stands, so we got out at like 2 a.m. when we finished cleaning the concession stand. We'd all go to fucking Denny's because he knew the manager at the Denny's.
Fuck yeah.
So we'd go there. Yeah.
Fucking nice. Grand Slam which at 2:30 in the morning hits so fucking hard.
Hell done.
Yeah. Right, we'll go to the fucking Instagram page now to do the Instagram
the
story
animals.
Responses. And as per tradition, we always highlight the first. What did you say?
He said wild animals.
Yeah. God, I say wild card responses, but whatever. Yeah, we go. Well, as per tradition, we always highlight the first response. And the first response is by Instagram user I'm Snap. And they say, can I call you Mac Daddy?
Yes.
Yes. No hesitation.
Sure.
The first actual question, though, is from CL Levy. And they say, what's the most expensive slash time consuming part you've ever replaced on what McLaren?
It's
motor.
Didn't replace it, but I took the engine out of the Senna.
Okay.
And even though it was, I did it quick because that's like all I was focusing on and the car needed to get done and whatnot. It's still like I spent a good amount of time on it, but it was, yeah, I was taking the engine out of a Senna.
Fuck. I actually have a question.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to that. What's the like biggest pain in the ass for not really seemingly should be a pain in the ass? Like, what's like something? I watched a video of some dude replacing a door latch on a Maserati, and he had to take like the whole quarter panel off and shit. Yep. Like what shit like that have you encountered?
Door latches kind of suck just because where they're at, they're not as bad as a Maserati. You don't have to take the entire side of the car apart, but you do have to take a good amount of the interior out. Anything on the interior is kind of a pain in the dick, especially just because me, because I'm a little bit on the fluffy side. So, like, me shoving my fat ass in a car.
Those tiny little interiors.
Yeah. Like, I have to remove the seat out of anything. Like, if I do any, like, major kind of, like, interior work, it just makes life a lot easier for me. Mm-hmm. The only thing that kind of comes to mind, though, on a repetitive basis, that's just a pain in the ass that I hate doing. When doing exhausts on 720s, you have the back quarter panel, and a lot of people take the quarter panels off completely to do the exhaust. You don't have to do that. So, but there's
flat rate tricks for McLarens. I love that.
There is a way to get them out without that. It's kind of a pain, but there's two bolts on the back end of the quarter, like more up on top, and there's constant pressure because it's all part of the quarter panel that's ginormous. Like, the whole back end of the car is like two panels, which is a quarter panel, so it's insane. And it's such a rigid design, and there's a bolt right underneath on both sides, so you have to like shove your hand up there, and it's being pinched in between a hard heat shield and the quarter panel. And you can remove a bolt about 12 inches up north of it to give it a little bit less pressure, but with my fluffy hands and still under there, it's pushing down on my knuckles hard. So it's not that long of a bolt. It's maybe like that long. It's like an 8 mil, but it's just kind of lining it up, especially when going back in while your knuckles are being crunched. That sucks.
Those hidden bolts. I fucking hate that shit.
Hidden bolts when you got to hit like this shit to fucking put it back in.
Yep.
Get your arm in the right angle and you got to do it all by feel.
Like trying to take the dashboard out of like a Volkswagen Passat where you got to find the one secret hidden bolt behind the fuse box underneath. Anyone who's ever done a heater core on like a B5 Volkswagen or Audi knows exactly what I'm fucking talking about. So or a Eurovan.
That reminded me of a engine that I worked on back in 2022 before I moved up here. It was an S-Class, so it had the 272 8-cylinder in it, right? 272 is a 6-cylinder.
278?
No, the older ones.
I fucking burped and then he picked his nose.
Is it the one that's the twin of the 157?
No. Hold on.
Stop what I did.
Yeah, you went like that. Come on, man.
You did that.
It was the 273. So the 272
over here.
The 272 is the 6-cylinder. The 273 was the 8-cylinder in the older cars. This was a 221 S-Class.
Yeah.
I was doing the
fucking poke your brain and die.
The timing chain sprocket thing.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 273s, the timing chain sprocket will wear down, and it's a wear item for some fucking reason.
Poop engine.
So I was replacing that. And when I was putting the timing cover back on, I was putting one of the screws in. This timing cover had come off recently before by somebody else. So,
oh boy,
this engine has been worked on. It's been taken apart, put back together, taken apart, put back together. I'm probably the third person to do the same thing. I was putting a screw in. The threads on this one bolt just spiraled out of the hole. Like, the threads Blanky. Just came out. But luckily, the part where the bolt goes in carries on through. There's a hole on the other side, like where the I would say the not the alternator, but the AC compressor bolts onto the end.
So you put a nut behind it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So I got a longer bolt and I put a nut behind there and did that. I am so sorry to whoever works on that car next, because
you'll be like, what the fuck?
Like, why is this bolt
like this
out?
Bolt just keeps spinning.
You're gonna be like, who the fuck put the thing?
And you work on
speed,
like
a speed marking on the side of it.
This was before I did that.
You're gonna come across some like 87 Ford F-150 with like 250,000 miles on it, had like 16 starters put in it, and the bottom bolt on the starter just has a fucking long ass bolt and a nut instead of the bolt that goes into the bell housing, because it's been fucking used so many times. Oh, the last guy left the bolts loose on the starter, and the starter just goes. That's what it's like.
Let's see.
A coworker did a fucking oil pan, on a 5.4 Triton pickup with the 4x4, and he's trying to lower the fucking front axle and everything to get the fucking pan out. And I'm just like, you know, the fucking sway bar's in the way, right? Because the pan's hitting the
fuck. Trying to do it.
It's just there. I was like, just had to take the sway bars, would just slide the rest of the way out. He's trying to drop the whole fucking.
Tell ya. We'll do this one last question for tonight's episode. Instagram user Papa Benz asks, how hard is it transitioning from one brand to another? I'm looking at Lambo currently.
Lamborghini machines.
Excuse me?
It kind of depends on what kind of tech you are. Like, there's a lot of, I feel, especially if you've been in the industry for so long, you kind of have like a Goldilocks zone of you're either been at a brand for 15, 20 years and that's all you kind of know. So going into like a different brand, yeah, you have the mechanical knowledge or whatnot, but you're going to kind of struggle getting adapted to the new brand that you're wanting to go to, versus if you switch brands after a year or two of getting into the field, you're still new with the entire mechanical mindsets and just trying to figure out what you're doing. But with that being said, because you're still not set in your ways and know exactly what you're doing, it's easier to be malleable and go to a different brand. So at least to me, I think it's, when I switched, I was a tech for about 4 or 5 years. So I definitely was not the newest tech, but there's definitely a lot of techs older than me. But it didn't phase me too much, just because I had gotten to the point where, okay, I'm pretty competent in my skills. I've done a lot at Mercedes, a lot of like engines, a lot of cylinder heads. So more of the in-depth stuff, which is the kind of stuff I like. And with that being said, it kind of made the transition a little bit easier going to McLaren, because I like doing all that kind of hard stuff. Because anybody that wants to go work on like Lamborghini, McLaren, Ferrari, they're not looking for a job where they want to do oil changes and brakes all day. They want to be like, they want to have kind of a more challenge to them.
Oil changes.
Thank you.
To me, it wasn't all that bad, just because I think I was in the Goldilocks zone of figuring out what to do in the industry as a tech, and it kind of just made it not super hard. I was used to Mercedes, like the algorithm, like with the Swiss, right?
Yeah.
With like, I was very fluent in that. So going over to McLaren, their system's similar but not very closely related to that, so that took a little bit of getting used to. But I feel like if I was at Mercedes for like 10 years, it would have been a little bit more challenging to go to another brand. But that also just depends on what kind of the individual person. Like, some people are very adaptable to what they want, and then like there's other people like me that have had the same sandwich at Subway order for the last 15 years of their life. So kind of just
what do you get? What's that sandwich?
Meatball marinara, double cheese.
Fuck yeah.
God damn, hell yeah.
Extra heartburn sandwich.
That is a good ass sandwich.
I'll tell you mine. Spicy Italian, add bacon. That's a winning combo. I mean, I haven't been to a Subway in like a year because it costs like $27 for a foot long and a fucking drink and a bag of chips now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's just like, fuck it, I'll just go to Jimmy John's and it's better.
Or Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's fuck slaps, dude. Oh my God.
I've never been to a Jersey Mike's, but there's one that opened not too far away from me.
It's fucking
They're good. Dude. They're just even more expensive.
Mm. Number 44 Buffalo Chicken Sub. Oh, it's so good.
I think a lot of people the brand switching thing. If you're a person that wants to get into the auto industry and you don't have an attachment to a specific brand, I think working at like an all makes and models like independent shop is probably your best way to learn everything. I could speak from experience, like, because I mean, my first job was at like just a mom and pop, like basically just basic repair shop. And like, I'd be like working on a Saab or working on like a Buick or an old, like a Cadillac or, you know, like a fucking, and then like a 69 Camaro would come in or something. Like, you get to learn all sorts of different things. And I think you switching to a brand that is also still European, like from Mercedes and stuff, like it's still Europeans, and most European cars are built pretty similarly, I feel. Like they all the kind of use
like e-torque.
Yeah, exactly.
So like my box at Mercedes, I specifically tailor that to Mercedes because I have that dealership, so I'm not touching anything else really. So my whole box was set for the European Mercedes. So going over to McLaren, they use all the same stuff. The only thing that I had to get accustomed to was 95% of all the bolts and hardware on a Benz is magnetic.
Yep.
You don't get that on. So like all the thousands of dollars I spent on magnetic sockets and everything like that, completely useless.
Yep.
Which is fun. But the when it comes, if it was more of like moving from Ford to McLaren, I can see that being not necessarily a whole skill challenge, but a hardware challenge, because you're going from, I'm assuming they still use standard tools on American.
Fords have been most American cars have been metric since like the mid to late 80s.
Okay.
Except for like engines, like if you get like a 98 Ford Explorer with like a 4 liter, that is the same engine that was in like a 91 or an 89 Ford Explorer.
I've noticed the newer Chevys still kind of use the standard sizes and not
really
the metric. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I thought that they all use standards.
Also, sometimes Chrysler and Dodge will have.
Well, like, Chrysler and Dodge just do their own thing. They just eat paste and try to stay alive.
Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and then Chevys will have like normal metric bolts, and then some bolts will be just slightly the wrong size for the metric bolts, and you're like, what the fuck?
I think that's not because they're standard. I think that's just because of the garbage manufacturing.
Or that could very much be it.
I think my basis for switching brands for me would be, is the brand that I am going to go work on, are the customers, am I going to have a car at least once a day where if I get in it and throw up in it, nothing changes? Or is it still going to be every car I work on is clean? If that's the case, then I'm okay with switching to that brand. But if it's a brand where every car is fucking disgusting on the interior because people are fucking slobs, you know who I'm talking about. People listening to this, looking in your car, and all the fucking monster cans on the floor.
Clean your car.
God.
Clean your car. Do it.
Your car should not smell like a fucking zoo.
Yeah, sure. This is a zoo animal transportation vehicle.
Do you have any
Kia Soul?
I doubt it. Do you have any McLarens that are like that, or are they all just spotless?
The most I'll get is not been used in a while, so like dust.
Okay, yeah.
I've had cars where like the interiors are just caked with dust because they're sitting in the garage for 2-3 years because they have so many other cars, they just don't drive them. Mm-hmm. So that would be like the only... Every now and then I'll see one that's got like some trash in it, but you also can't keep a whole lot of stuff in it. It's like, it'd be like a bag like from a Target,
candy wrapper
like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a pack of gum or something. But most of the time,
how it feels to chew fat gum.
The biggest kind of thing I'll get is just it being dusty on the inside. And that's about it.
Hell yeah. No one is just like, oh, this car's filthy.
I worked on some pretty gross cars. I mean, I haven't worked on a lot of gross. I've worked on more gross cars at independent shops than at the dealership for sure. Mm-hmm. Like most of our customers, like
that's actually the gross customers don't have dealership money.
Quite the contrary. There are a lot of cars that I've worked on at this Honda dealership specifically that I've been at that has been like a perfectly maintained like 91 Prelude or something that has like 350,000 miles on it. And you're like, what the fuck? And it's just perfect and mint. Like that Civic that I worked on today, that I don't know if you guys saw my story, but I rebuilt the engine in a 93 Civic Si in EG hatch. Well, not an EG6, but you know, the initial D people know what I'm talking about. what's the color? Either way, it's the green color that the Civic that everybody wants on in their Civic.
Yeah.
Jelly bean. I want to say Bayside blue, but that's not even green. It's green.
Isn't it like a tealish color, or am I thinking of the fucking Fords?
No, it's a teal. It's like a Calypso color. It's like the color that the 93 Mustangs are. Anyway, this dude got it from a customer. You know, it has like 287,000 miles on it, and it looks perfect. And you're like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
Are you telling me taking care of your car makes the car look good the whole time and last forever?
Yeah, unless it's a Chrysler product, but yeah.
Unless it's a Chrysler product, yeah.
Unless it's a Chrysler product made after the 80s.
Unless it's the 4L.
After the 90s.
I guess one last question that I have before we go. Are you certified to work on F1s?
Unfortunately, I'm not. There's only one tech in the States that is.
Okay.
And McLaren kind of have that locked down because they kind of want to realize that. But he's out of Philly. His name's Kevin. And he's the only one in the States. And there's one or two other gentlemen in the UK that are certified to work on them. That's it. So out of all of them left, there's like three, maybe four guys that are certified to work on them.
Yeah, because I remember seeing a reel recently where like the McLaren F1s are so valuable that it is impossible to total them out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like if they get fucking wrecked, you can still afford to like replace everything and rebuild it.
Yeah, because the car's worth like $50 million.
Yeah. McLaren have a warehouse in the UK in Surrey, I think it is. It's about 2-3 miles away from MSO, like the actual like McLaren factory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the place where you see like all the photos of like the futuristic place. Mm-hmm. They have a warehouse down there. I think it's called like Area 27 or something like that, where they house all the F1 parts.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they could build probably another 15-20 F1s out of all the stuff that they have built for the F1s, like all the parts, but they keep it so when these cars need servicing and whatnot, they have the parts available.
Because if they make a new one, it'll make all the rest of them lose value, probably.
Correct.
That's true. I guess that's a different way to think about
that. But it's kind of cool because it's like, I've seen pictures of it. It looks just like a warehouse. People drive by it all day long. It's not labeled. It doesn't have any name or anything like that. And it's just a warehouse in a industrial estate. nobody knows what's in there besides McLaren, and it's just full of McLaren F1 engines, body panels, electronics, everything to build those cars.
That's nuts.
That's incredible. I remember there was like a Jalopnik article years ago about the scan tool that you need to diagnose the F1, and it's like a DOS-based computer. It's a whole ass console. Let me find it.
That's the update. I don't think that they have an updated one. So I know McLaren went on a buying binge and bought all that they could find of that certain computer back in the day, because I believe that it's still the only computer that will actually connect to those cars.
I have one.
Nah, I bet I can get a Haltech ECU to fucking
connect. So I'm fact checking myself because I was slightly wrong. You need it's a laptop.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
It's a 20-year-old. How old is this article? 2016. So you need a 30-year-old compact laptop to diagnose and service the F1. And it just looks like the old beige white, you know, all old computers were this color.
The laptop that's like 3 inches thick because it needs to be for the fucking battery and computing.
Like there's no way they can't make, like, you'd think they would have a big enough budget to be like, you know, why don't we make something for the F1 owners like Jay Leno and
something
the other guys.
Modern. You mean like redoing that code in a modern computer?
No,
plans for that.
Or
it's like there's no way that's an impossible feat. Yeah, it's like there's no way that's an impossible feat.
They need to treat it like they do fucking jet fighters from the 70s, where they just like completely gut out the electrical components and put all new ones in. It's like
compact LTE 5280 from the early 1990s. That's 30 years ago. That's not 20.
I was born in 92. I'm 32.
my Honda Civic was born in 92. Actually, that's not true. It was born in 91. Just like my wife and my Saab.
My wife.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was this episode of Flag Time. Brett, thank you so much for joining us tonight, man.
This
was awesome. You guys for having me on again.
Hell yeah. You guys have any... Well, where can people find you, Brett?
I'm busy doing that.
You can find me on my Instagram, the MacDoctor1101. Mm-hmm. And then I am stationed at Lux Performance AZ, or Lux Performance Tuning. That's LUXE Performance and Tuning. So keep an eye on the stuff. We have, like I was saying earlier, we got that Senna coming up. And then I know we have a couple more Sennas coming on down. Not for anything as radical, but still Senna content, so it's going to be, you can't really go wrong with that.
Senna content is good content for sure.
Hell yeah.
Right. I actually have one more thing I want to add. Today at work, I didn't go to work, but I was at work today. Somebody brought in a brand new Hyundai Kona with 2,000 miles on it. And we were like, okay, we need to order parts for this. And they were like, you guys don't have them in stock. And they're like, why would we have parts for a Hyundai in stock?
No,
we're
a Honda dealership.
And they were like, no way. the service writer like ran out and was like, you guys come on. Like I got to, like, we still ordered the filter and did their oil change, but somebody brought in a fucking Hyundai to the Honda dealership and they actually was like, change the oil because it's a Honda. And we're like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
And they were like, I thought this was a Hyundai dealership. And we're like, no, those are,
they start the colors are different. Like,
it's like, did you not see the
H on the car? So I take it to the place with the H on the building. Okay.
Giant letters.
Never mind. Be like, there's a T building down there. They have Toyota parts.
It'd be like me taking my Mercedes to a McLaren dealer.
Or to a BMW dealership. Be like, it's German. It's the same shit, right?
It's like taking a Volkswagen to an Audi dealership because it's basically the same car.
That is the same thing, though. You can do that. We get Acuras in our dealer
nowadays.
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, but like, I mean like back in the 80s it wouldn't have worked. Or back in the 70s before Audi was bought by Volkswagen. They would
just kill you for making that mistake.
Wrong dealership.
Gun.
Like the old cartoons.
Oh yeah, Looney Tunes was really big on fucking guns.
They were. It's like Bugs Bunny out of nowhere, just fucking.
Just kind of like everyone that grew audience. Up in the generation of who watched that show. Anyway,
I miss those cartoons so much.
Well, that's this episode of Flag Time. Go listen to Patreon, and we got videos over there. Yeah, we do have videos over there on the Flag Time Podcast Patreon, where you can see the video versions of said episode that you just listened to. We also want to thank our premium members over there on the Flag Time Patreon. There's 2004 Volkswagen Polo, Ansel Fuji, Ashton Green, Big Blue Caddy, Chrysler Connection, Canute Joel 0319, Chrysler Connection, Devin Newby, Dog Milk 53, Eli Hip, Forced User, Fortec 1397, Framed Automotive, Hal, Jamie BH 911, JJ the Tech, JJ Knight 00, John Montague, Kyle Olson 25, Sports Cars of Sumas, Luna Cat Eye, Love Joe Bacon, McDonald Borger, Masonite 500, Midwestern Metalhead 03, Mississippi King, Moderately Cool Guy, Mopar 1966, Mr. Crown Vic, Nathan, Nick Toomey, Police 428, Savage Actual 556, Sushi Sausage, Spencer Delfo, Stirworks, Steve Henriquez, Tagarung, The Big Maple, The Forklift Guy, Vubula, Elysium Darkness, and Meep, but in Japanese. Thank you so much for your generous contributions to this dumbass show.
Balls.
You can see my balls if you send me $35 million.
Yeah, that's. I was about to say false advertising, but no, he will actually do that if you send him that much money.
Yeah, I will absolutely do it.
Yeah.
Same.
I mean, anyone would, except for Elon Musk, but he doesn't have any
balls. I'll do it for $15 million.
Go follow the Mac Doctor 1101. Thank you for joining us again, and we will see you guys next time. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye, guys.
See ya.